journey in earnest once more. I've heard from many people and read many people's writings that are reflecting on this past year as being one really long Lent. That the Lenten experience of the spring of 2020, with its interposed exile from many familiar rhythms of life, including gathering in church spaces, never really ended. I get that. But these comments in recent days have also prompted me to wonder, what is it that constitutes a Lenten experience for folks? Or to press it even a little further, what is the purpose of Lent during a pandemic? And is there any wisdom to be gleaned from the unusually lengthy Lenten excursion we are in the midst of? Of course, a quick scan of the Christian tradition of Lent would derive some familiar touchstones that still apply for us this year. First, that Lent is a time set apart for honing our spiritual senses to more acutely participate in resurrection joy when Easter arrives. It also serves as a time of preparation for those to be baptized and welcomed into the community. And thirdly, in the call to Lenten fasting, prayer, and almsgiving, there is an invitation to return to the spiritual proving grounds by which we come to know more keenly our belovedness. All of these expressions are present year in and year out, including this year, in what we call an invitation to observe a holy Lent. They exist for a purpose. But it seems to me there is another layer of Lenten wisdom being presented to us this year in particular, and I think it has to do with grief. Grief is the universal human condition that is uniquely experienced by each person individually as an internal spiritual journey following loss. Yes, it is a spiritual journey, but I want to be very clear, it is real, and it is a process that unfolds over time. Everyone grieves because everyone experiences loss in the course of life. But like our fingerprints, we each carry our unique imprint of grief with us. When people say, "It seems like Lent never ended last spring," I believe they're giving voice to their grief, given all the accumulated loss of the last year. We can all rehearse many of those losses. 500,000 U.S. dead now due to COVID. Loss of school, loss of work, loss of financial security, loss of home. Loss of our national naivete about racism and the resurgence of Christian nationalism, or the false floor of national creedal commitments to liberty and justice for all. Loss of human touch, loss of human gatherings, loss of travel. The list goes on. You know it. Maybe you haven't experienced all of these, but we all experienced some, a lot really. And even if you have come through this relatively unscathed, the weight of the collective loss cannot but weigh on your heart as well. And so we grieve, each in our own way, but we all are grieving. It gets manifest in a variety of ways too. I've seen an uptick in the biting edge of discourse in recent weeks, even among people not usually inclined to such sharpness. Maybe you've noticed it too. there's a smoldering anger that has moved beyond its usual stomping grounds of social media and into our grocery stores and our phone conversations and our Zoom meetings, even among family members. I see it as a manifestation of this cumulative grief, an understandable eruption, really, to relieve that ache of grief that perhaps some have not yet named. Friends, can we name it here? And is the naming of our grief part of the Lenten work to which we are called to undertake this year? You'll recall Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's famous 5 stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Maybe you've experienced one or more of those in recent months. Now, while Dr. Kubler-Ross intended these to be used very narrowly to explicate experience of those with terminal illness, her construct resonated so well with the universal human experience of grief that they became, in short order, the sine qua non of understanding grief across the spectrum of life's experiences. Kubler-Ross insisted, however, that we do not identify or think of them as stages to pass through sequentially or in a prescribed fashion. Remember, we each grieve uniquely. Near the end of her own life, she and fellow researcher David Kessler worked to further develop this field of grief science. And Kessler has since written a book in which he identifies a 6th stage of grief, which he calls finding meaning. While our society exerts enormous pressure to just get over grief, it doesn't work that way. There is no closure after loss, if that we mean the grief just goes away, that you can just place it in a box and store it on the top shelf of the closet and just forget about it. It doesn't work that way. You know that. I know that. But it can be transformed over time into a more peaceful and even more hopeful frame. That's the work of finding meaning. Which brings me back to the question, what is the purpose of this Lenten journey? In today's gospel, surely we can say Jesus was grieving what he intuitively knew was about to happen, anticipatory grief of the suffering and pain and loss. And Peter was in denial too. His own way of grieving the prospect of losing Jesus, who meant so much to him. I suspect Peter had a tinge of anger in his protest that day, understandable given what was at stake. But then Jesus goes on to offer a brief teaching. And this is the core of Lenten wisdom right here: losing one's life to save it. Deeper than preparation or giving up chocolate, although those may hone one's spiritual readiness to receive Lenten wisdom, this is deeper because it is paradoxical wisdom. That in the experience of loss, meaning can be found, meaning can be gained. That doesn't lessen the sting of the loss. It doesn't make it okay. The loss is real. The grief is real. It still stinks. So let's be honest about that. But let's be aware of it also, and of how we may be expressing our grief with one another in light of all that we've lost in the last year. Here's what I know. It is often in the experience of exile when the familiar and routine are taken away, that the scales fall from our eyes to discover some new meaning in life that enables us to find our way home or to make a new home that we cannot yet see, but somehow can trust is there. We don't rush to Easter and pretend the cross did not happen. But neither do we languish in Lent with no meaning to be gleaned. Jesus did not ask us or invite us to go to such a barren land. Which is why we speak of 40 days of Lent. 40 days is the Bible's way, the church's way of saying an ample time, sufficient time for the journey at hand, sacred time for sacred work. If you count the days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, you'll get 47, not 40. Why? Because Sundays in Lent are not part of the 40. They are celebrations of the resurrection still. Thematically connected to the Lenten journey, but with the indelible marks of resurrection hope to sustain us on the way. Which is to say, friends, that God is with us on the journey, this Lenten journey, difficult as it may be, prolonged as it may feel, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, not death, not loss, not anything in all of creation. Jesus was willing to die for that truth to live in this moment and for us to find meaning through it, even as grief pierces our hearts.